There's literally millions of podcasts, and you had a choice. Thank you for picking this one, at least for a few minutes, as absolutely no one calls me. I'm Tijuana Bob. As always, I'm joined by my extra-dimensional partner, a man known as Fishkembe Mutombo, who we will get to in earnest momentarily. A lot to talk about tonight. LeBron James gets booed at home, the brand new Game of Thrones trailer, boneless wings, Mardi Gras anti-Semitism, R. Kelly's tears, Fox News, KFC Innovation Labs, whatever the hell that is, then Paleta Bola de Fuego, and oh, so much more. But where I would like to begin this evening, one of my broadcast heroes, and I think kind of anyone who started doing radio or doing anything involving a microphone in my generation, is an undying admiration of Howard Stern. He is still the king. He is still the best. His show is better than ever, and I hope he does it forever. But one of the tenets of Sir Howard, as I call him, is if something is so embarrassing, if something is so personal that the last thing you want to do on earth is share and talk about it into a microphone, you know what you have to do? You have to talk about it. So that's where we begin this evening. We are about to do that right now. For those of you that know me well or have followed this show for a while, about a year and a half ago, I had my fifth back surgery, and this back surgery backfired and went horribly wrong, and it turned into just an awful, awful spinal infection called discitis that they couldn't find right away, because in my spine, it was in the bone marrow, and then it got into my spinal cord and actually did long-term spinal cord damage. And as a result of that damage, here comes the embarrassing part. Here comes the thing that I really don't want to discuss, but oh well, here we go. As a result of that spinal cord damage, and after weeks of this thing, I was completely, completely numb in what I've referred to before as what the polite medical books would refer to as my saddle region. The sensation finally came back to my saddle region, but I was still staring at the potential of never being able to have normal sex again for the rest of my life, right? This is for a 43-year-old dude, and a young 43. Can't emphasize, I went to the doctor today, and this doc couldn't believe, thought I had a fake ID when I said I was born in 75. It's true. A young spring chicken of 43. So there I am, and I was actually at the Mexican doctor to get another prescription of these muscle relaxers that I need for my spine, for muscle spasm. And while I was there, I did some research, and apparently there's this very effective Mexican Viagra alternative. It's the exact same stuff. It's just packaged and labeled different, but it's called Maxifort, I believe. And so while I was there, I asked about this, and I got a prescription today for Mexican Viagra. See, the problem was with Tijuana Bob's junk, as I say. I gained the sensation prior, and this is way too much information. This is way too much. We'll share. Some of the sensation came back to the point that I could climax, but I could not. We could not have the full standing tower that we once had before. Again, staring down the barrel of never having a normal sex life for the rest of my life, which was a very, 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 very scary proposition. So today, I get the prescription for the Mexican Viagra, Maxifort, and I was curious, and so I came home, and I had to try it, And about an hour later, we're like, yeah, well, let's take this thing for a test drive and just see what happens. So let's just see what happens. Keep our fingers crossed. Because this is the first thing the doctors back in the States would try before you start to go to really bad options like penis pumps and injections and penile implants and a whole bunch of other things that are very scary for anyone, especially a spry 43-year-old like myself. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and amigos, I am pleased to report that this stuff worked. There it was, an hour later. My very own Statue of Liberty. My very own Abraham Lincoln statue, the breaker of chains. I was finally free. And even if I have to take medication, just the fact that I know now going forward that seemingly normal sexual relations in the future, someday for me, is now, that's on the board. That party is on the board. So congratulations to me and my Mexican boner. It was a real thrill, a real barn burner of the day. And but can I say something else real quick before we get to Fish B over there? Thank you, Fish B. One of the things I really hate when people talk about Mexico, especially Americans, unless you're talking about Mexican weed, which is truly substandard, oftentimes when Mexican is used as an adjective, it's used to imply somehow substandard, subpar, somehow less than. Mexican healthcare is in no way that. There's a doctor's clinic right next to the pharmacy, and you don't have to have insurance to go there. You pay 200 pesos for a consultation with a doctor. That's $20 American. That's $10 American. Well worth the price for a consultation with a doctor. You go next door, you get the medications you need. It's cheap, it's quick, it's effective. You don't have the giant out-of-pocket expenses the way you do. It's just, the system seems good to me, all right? It seems good to me. And with that, let's finally get, in celebration of all things are, the, again, my own personal Statue of Liberty. Let's get to the Fish B part of the show, Fish Kembe Mutombo. Question one, is Tijuana going crazy for Mardi Gras? Is Tijuana going crazy for... There are a bunch of parties down on Revolucion. Here in Mexico, they don't call it Mardi Gras. That's a French term. They call it Carnival. So it's like Brazil. They call it, even though in Brazil they speak Portuguese. Don't get me started. It's very confusing, I know. But here it's Carnival, and there are a lot of different individual parties, and there kind of has been over the last week as we lead in to Lent, which is tomorrow. You know, I went to, but I'm not going out tonight. I'm just not. I feel like I've accomplished more than enough today. Can we all agree on that? But you know, I actually went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans one time, and I can't believe how long ago this was. I was fortunate enough to go to the last Mardi Gras of the millennium when I was in college in 1999, and that was fantastic. That was purely fantastic. Put that, if you're one of those people that have a bucket list, put Mardi Gras in New Orleans on that bucket list. That is one party you don't want to miss. I have a very short bucket list, and once Brazil comes down politically, going back to Brazil, I've never been, but going to Brazil for Carnival is definitely on that list. But even if I die tonight, I feel very fortunate that once I was able to attend Mardi Gras in New Orleans, that was pretty damn awesome. And especially because it was the last one of the millennium. People were going especially crazy. Who knew what was going to happen with Y2K? Next question, Fishby. What was the best part of the new Game of Thrones trailer? Just came out today, April 14th. It will be here before we knew it. But before we know it, the final... Is it six or is it seven? I heard seven, but I could be wrong. The final seven episodes, I believe, of Game of Thrones. And for if you're like half the country that are Game of Thrones junkies, this is the dragons were exciting. But if we're making predictions on the way Game of Thrones will end, who will have the throne? My money is still, if you watch this promo carefully, my money is still on Arya Stark, because I think the writers of this show, even though they're way ahead of a George R.R. Martin at this point, they have such a good sense of narrative and storytelling, and the very best stories are magic tricks. You show the audience what you're going to do right in front of their faces, and then you pull the strings, and then at the end, you bring it back right when they least expect it. You pull off the magic trick, the old David Copperfield, right in front of them. And because at the beginning of the promo, Arya Stark was featured so prominently, this does nothing to diffuse my theory that at the end of this thing, Arya Stark is the one. We shall see. Question two or three? It's three. Still thrown off by my Mexican boner. Yo, it's me, Fish B. What up, Fish B? How was your day, sir? Fish B writes, can we perform another musical number tonight? No, Fish B. Not tonight. Probably not tomorrow night. Probably not that often, but next time we get inspired, Fishbee'll come out. Minya, or we could always do the Fishbee Hokey Pokey. Or I'm also working on this theme song that goes something like this. It's Bob and Fishbowl. Bob and Fishbowl. Hey, Bob. It kind of said to the tune of the Bananas Unite, Bananas Split camp song. Bob and Fishbowl. Bob, and Fishbowl. We'll see when we get there. That's what we're working on. Sorry, Fishbee. I know you would prefer more. Our old friend Fishbola. You're a good extra-dimensional Fishbee, though. You're the buddy I always wanted that doesn't do a whole lot. Are you giving up anything for Lent tomorrow? Am I giving up? Yeah, this is more a thing of Catholicism, and I am clearly not Catholic. If you listened last night, I mean, I'm dangerously close to giving up my 1% faith in the Arby's Methodist Church in Spokangelus. I am right there on that. Yeah, Fishbee. And you know what I almost gave up? Seriously? On Saturday and last night, I was so frustrated with myself over something I said or something I had done or just the overall delivery momentum. I was going to give up this podcast, and not just for Lent. I was going to throw the microphone. I was just going to go down to the Tijuana River and huck the MacBook and the Mixie Boy and just throw it all in there, because it was frustrating. I'm just such a perfectionist that last night's show, there was not one but two glaring points in the program where I said, like, you know, like, you know, a jackass, like, you know, the way any type of person with mediocre intelligence doesn't really speak with a lot of like you knows. Not exactly very professional. So last night I'm pacing to myself. I'm like, I gotta, like, if I'm gonna do, this is how hard I am, which is such a perfectionist. I'm like, if I'm going to do that, then I might as well just quit the show because what the fuck was that garbage? Here's some of the notes I wrote to myself below, like, you know, in quotes. I write, fuck this. I was going to quit this show on Saturday and I should have throw it in the Tijuana River. And then I started writing down ideas for every time I listen back to the show. And if I hear a, like, you know, rhyme unintentional, I think I'll cut off a finger on the internet. I think that's an appropriate punishment if I ever do that again. And then I write, because this show is just me and Fish B, and it's not a typical podcast where you have interviews or co-hosts or conversations in a traditional manner. It's me and, you know, an extra-dimensional Fish B. A lot of nights, I intentionally want to keep the energy up. I want to keep the momentum going. And I want it to sound like controlled chaos. Last night, I decided that's no longer a vibe that I'm going for at all. Now, I no longer want controlled chaos. I just want total control. I just want total control of every aspect of the entire thing, top to bottom, even if that means I have to slow my cadence to 10 words per minute. I'm willing to do that. If I have to write down the entire show verbatim and just read it, I was willing to do that. If I have to read for 2 hours a day straight before the show, because for those of you aspiring broadcasters, podcasters, television presenters, whatever it is you want to do, reading is very important, not only because it makes yourself smarter, but the easier the words go in, the easier the words go out. So make sure you're reading as much as you can every day, especially complex things. And I was willing to also meditate for an hour before every single show just to get my mind right. This was me pacing for 3 hours last night because I said, like, you know, in a way that I found so glaring. It was just disgusting. So anyway, that's what I'm giving up for Lent, I guess. I'm not. Don't worry. We're not. We've come back to Earth. We're not giving up the show, at least not tonight. And really, I don't think we will. But sometimes it just, you know, you want so desperately to do so well that when it doesn't rise to those standards, this is like what you learn from Chef Gordon Ramsay. If you want a world-class kitchen, the most important thing in creating a world-class kitchen is standards. If it doesn't reach that level, it doesn't come out of the fucking kitchen. And I felt like I was consistently doing work that wasn't good enough to come out of the kitchen. I suppose I could just blame Fish B. Maybe that would be smart. Next question. Is Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar, did I say that right? Let's just call her Democratic Representative Omar. Is she an anti-Semite? This is, she's in trouble again. She is Fox News rating gold because she wears a traditional Mexican headdress and she's beige, and that scares the hell out of 99.9% of every Fox News viewer, this freshman congresswoman from Minnesota. Donald Trump was even talking about her. She's gone back and apologized for a couple things she said. I'm not calling her an anti-Semite. I'm not in this woman's heart. I don't know what she means. That said, when it comes to the subject of anti-Semitism, I will follow the lead of New York Times columnist Barry Weiss, who refers to herself as a liberal Zionist, in that it is okay to question the foreign policy of Israel. It is okay to stick up for the human rights of Palestinians and have that debate. Of course, Those are proper things, and that in and of itself does not make you anti-Semitic. But specific ad hominem attacks against Jewish people, yeah, that's anti-Semitic. Talking about how Israel doesn't have the right to exist in their ancestral homeland, yes, that crosses the line into anti-Semitism. This is, again, I'm an Arby's Methodist, and I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, where essentially there are no Jewish people, so this isn't my account. I have nothing but a heart filled with love, so when in doubt, refer to Barry Weiss, who in the fall is actually, she's currently working on a brand new book all about anti-Semitism that I look forward to reading. So, next question from Fishbola. And this is another night, you know, take off your sweater, get comfortable, lean in. We're just taking our sweet time. I used to always try, I thought like the golden time number, the golden time stamp for this show was right around 20 minutes. Now I'm kind of second guessing everything, and I'm not 100% sure that's correct. So we're gonna do the best we can. There's a few more questions in Fishby. No need to rush. Do R. Kelly's tears to Gayle King change anything? I don't know. What do you think, Fish V? What do you think, Mexican boner? I mean, they've released a few clips of this thing, and it's basically R. Kelly in tears losing his shit to Oprah's best friend / co-host of the CBS Morning News, or whatever they call that morning show, Gayle King. It's going to air in its entirety tomorrow, and no, this doesn't change anything. There's video. I don't know how R. Kelly got out of his last trial, apparently because he had world's greatest attorneys. The justice system isn't fair for those that are rich, and the video was kind of dark. They couldn't 100% guarantee that the person in those videos was R. Kelly. Apparently, the new videos that have come to light that unfortunately Michael Avenatti has and the police have, but it is crystal clear that these are underage girls that he's molesting, that he's behaving as a pedophile towards, that statutory rape, urination, degradation. The tears of R. Kelly do nothing for me. In this Me Too era, R. Kelly says he's fighting for his fucking life, and I agree, and I don't see how he gets out of this. I don't. Unless they write a counteract of laws where they lower the age of consent in Chicago to 12 years old or something, which of course they're not going to do. R. Kelly's, his days are numbered. Next question, Fishby. Next question. How do you feel when you see commercials for boneless chicken wings? Now, this is a subject I can get passionate about very easily. Don't mess with me when it comes to chicken. No one loves the chicken. No one loves the funky pollo more than I do. I even went out next to the Mexican pharmacist and the doctor. There's a chicken joint right there, this grilled chicken, and it is delicious. And I ordered it there just for me, not to go. And even the people behind the counter were a little stunned. And again, with nothing to go. Why one gringo was ordering an entire chicken? Because I'm that hungry, and that's how much I love it. But boneless wings, I'm a purist. And there's no such thing as a boneless wing. Identify to me on the bird where the fuck a boneless wing is. If it can be a nugget, it can be a tender, it can be a strip, it can be a hybrid of all three of those things, and you can call it whatever you want, but you can't call it a boneless wing. Unacceptable. It's not a boneless wing. It's outrageous. Just outrageous. I wish I was in Congress. Not only would I be condemning Representative Ilhan Omar. And by the way, I'm backtracking a little bit, but can I say another thing about all the Republicans calling her out and all the fodder on Fox News? And I'm not defending her. I'm not saying what she said was right, because I don't think it is. That said, how dare these Republicans, when we have President Trump in the White House and Representative Sting King, a known white nationalist in Congress at this point, President Trump, he's clearly as the godfather of birtherism, saying Obama should go back to Kenya. It doesn't get much more racist than that. He launched his campaign saying some of the most racist shit in Trump Tower against Mexican people I've ever heard in my life. And then there was the whole Muslim ban. It doesn't get much more anti-Islam than a Muslim ban. And these are the same people that want to call out and critique Representative Omar, the young freshman from Minnesota? Just saying. I'm just saying. Sorry, boneless wings gets me fired up. What's KFC's innovation labs? More chicken talk. We could do a whole show about chicken. Maybe we should have. And in the fried chicken rankings in America, I love KFC, but still KFC's at the bottom. I'll take KFC over the artist formerly known as Kentucky Fried Chicken over a lot of food, but it's not my favorite. But KFC Innovation Labs, this is a marketing thing, right? This is just a pure marketing thing, because they want to fund this shit via Indiegogo, which is, we'll get more on that in a second. But they're talking about, from KFC Innovation Labs, a bathtub hot tub. Not sure if it's a time machine, but a backyard hot tub that looks like a KFC bucket. I might actually want that. That sounds pretty cool. A smart cane remote. Not only is it a cane, not only does it have a picture of the curdle on it, but it controls everything in your house, from the television to the garage door. And also a production of the curdle on ice, like Ice Capades or like Disney on Ice and Little Mermaid on Ice. I actually like this. I actually like the idea of the curdle on ice. But none of these things are going to happen, unfortunately, for me. Because, again, they're trying to fund this through Indiegogo. And some of the first people that donate, I mean, you get complimentary KFC swag, like stickers or shoes or T-shirts or swag. But here's the thing. It's not like KFC. You don't need me to tell you it's a mom-and-pop operation. But they're owned by Yum Brands. Y-U-M exclamation point brands. They're a Fortune 500 company. They also own Taco Bell, Pizza Hut. They're not exactly struggling for cash. So the fact that they would launch any marketing campaign and try to fund it through fucking Indiegogo... They're a publicly traded company, and they're funding things through Indiegogo. So it's just for show. It's a no-go-go on Indiegogo, but interesting. Last question before Isaiah's. What's the difference between Fox News and state-run propaganda Trump TV? What's the difference between Fox News and state-run propaganda TV? Good question, Fishby. Really, it's just semantics at this point. That relationship is so incestuous. The former head of Fox News programming, Bill Shine, is now running the communication shop at the White House. That's kind of an issue. Sean Hannity does nothing. He is an unabashed Trump defender, Trump supporter. He says that on his show. He brags to his friends that he talks to the president almost after every show. Insider accounts, and this is no stunner, have Trump watching 2 to 4 hours of Fox News every single day. The only news organization in the country that he doesn't call fake news is Fox News. There are a few legitimate journalists, Brett Baer, Shep Smith, but still, that is, it's bad. And anecdotally, and I might be dropping some names here you don't know, and I'm sorry about that, but this is not an original thought for me, but it is a thought worthy of the podcast. Yesterday, I heard Zerlina Maxwell talking. Zerlina Maxwell is a longtime media and political operative. She worked for the Hillary campaign. Her current gig, she's the head of progressive programming for SiriusXM, is Zerlina Maxwell. And she was saying yesterday, over the weekend, she was on a panel, and I forget the fella's name, and I should know it, forgive me, I don't know it off the top of my head, but he actually wrote like the biography of Fox News founder Roger Ailes. And one of Roger Ailes' motivation for starting Fox News, he and Rupert Murdoch, but not so much Rupert Murdoch, really, former longtime Republican operative Roger Ailes, was to make sure that there could never be another Watergate. Because the reason Richard Nixon got forced out of office, the reason that he was going to be impeached, is because there wasn't a Fox News. And all Americans were getting their news from legitimate news sources like Walter Cronkite, etc. And once the nation got the information and started to turn on Nixon, the Republicans in the Senate realized they could no longer protect Richard Nixon. And they went to the White House and told him it was over, and the next day, Nixon resigned. Roger Ailes' motivation for starting the network was to make sure that political opinion in the country could never get to that point, at least not a preponderance of people to cause a Republican to resign amid scandal. And here we are, Fox News 2019. Look at exhibition one, or exhibit A, excuse me, Trump. Last question comes from Isaiah the Tiny Player, and it reads as follows. Why did LeBron get booed at home last night? This is crazy. This is something that I certainly never thought I would see. I mean, his first year as a Los Angeles Laker, he's been hurt some, but this year has gone so bad that the LA Laker fan base has turned on the team and they have turned on LeBron. They lost last night to the Los Angeles Clippers in a game they needed to win. The Lakers are now 10th in the Western Conference. They're 30-34 overall, 3-7 in their last 10, and it's become painfully obvious to everyone that they're not going to make the playoffs. The top 8 teams in each conference, the Lakers appear to be going nowhere fast. In fact, they're going in the wrong direction, and the fans last night at home booed LeBron James. Crazy. Thank you, Isaiah, the Tiny Player. You are an amazing executive producer. And with that, let us get to Paleta Bola de Fuego, or at least as it translates on Google Translate, the Paddle Ball of Fire. King Kong Bundy, tragically the professional wrestler, sad news. We found out that he passed at the age of 61. I didn't hear why, but these wrestlers, they're just not lasting very long, are they? But King Kong Bundy, he was 6'4", the same height as me, only 270 pounds heavier than me, and I weighed 220 pounds. Kylie Jenner is now officially the world's youngest self-made billionaire, according to Forbes. Again, she's only 21 years old with her makeup empire, replacing Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, who did it at 23 with Facebook when they went public. But that is, way to go, Kylie Jenner. And there's a lot of debate. Is she self-made? Well, she did start on third base. She was able to cash in on her family, fame, and fortune, but she certainly turned that into something incredible, and now she's the richest of all the Kardashians at 21, and there's something to be said for that, so I'm not a big fan of knocking her. Speaking of Kylie Jenner, Travis Scott came out last week. He cheated! Travis Scott cheated! But apparently they're back together because in an effort to show how committed he was to Kylie, you know, they have a kid together, he deleted his Instagram account. You know you're sorry. You know shit serious when you delete your Instagram account. If that's all you have to do, man, I would have done that. Mike Bloomberg announced that he's not running for president. So this field is shaping up. And lastly, Jack White, one of my favorite musicians in the world, one of the coolest guys in the world. There's only 5 original Negro League baseball parks left in the country. One of them is in his hometown of Detroit. It's called Hamtramck Stadium. There's actually a real internet fundraising thing, not Indiegogo, Jack White put up the first $10,000. They're going to need to preserve the stadium. They only need to raise $50,000 in the next 2 months. And with Jack White promotion, I don't think this is going to be any issue at all. And honestly, I think Jack White would throw up the whole 50 if he had to, because he's a big baseball fan. And he's a cool dude. So way to go, Jack White. Way to go, everybody. What a show tonight. Man, a real barn burner. Thank you for making it through the whole thing. Chapter, TJ 11, I'm pretty sure it's going to be called Mexican Boner. Share it with your friends. Life is short. Be good to each other. You know I love you. If all goes well, back mañana.